Welcome to Career Tools. This week, resilience in your career, part one. The questions this class answers are, what is resilience? How does resilience relate to my career? And how do I build resilience?
In the financial world, savvy investors capitalize on compound interest. In career development, smart professionals choose manager tools. By starting now, you'll benefit from an ever-growing repository of career-enhancing resources, similar to how interest compounds over time. With prices rising everywhere, the current moment presents an unparalleled opportunity to invest in your career's exponential growth at today's cost. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/products to become a licensee today.
As we record this, Amanda, it is the first week of 2024, and the last 4 years have tested everybody, and it doesn't feel like there's an end in sight. If you read the news, the next year is going to test everybody just as much, whether it's politics or the economy or just what people are doing to each other.
Yeah.
Resilience is a skill that we all need, and it just seems like it's a never-ending need. And it is a skill, fortunately, that can be learned. It's a skill that we can describe. And if we can describe it, we can learn it. And if we can learn it, we can practice it and we can build it in ourselves. So we don't have to be born with this trait. We can learn it and build our skills in it and get better at it. And that means we can get through these trials more easily. And so in this cast, we're going to talk about it. Resilience when it comes to your career. And how to build it up so that you get through trials more easily. Because those trials are never going away.
No, it's kind of a never-ending cycle, I feel like, of adulthood.
Yes.
No one tells you that.
No.
As an adult, you have to kind of build that up. Okay, so our outline that we're going to follow and go through today is, first, understanding resilience. Second, invest in relationships. Third, stay fit. Fourth, analyze your responses and implement changes. Fifth is set realistic expectations. And the sixth one is address problems within your influence.
So first, we'll describe what resilience is, at least to us and with when we're talking about your career, because it's one of those words that can be described a lot of different ways by different people when they're talking about different things. It's a different thing to psychiatrists, and it's a different thing sort of generally when people are talking about it, when they're talking to each other. If you look at the Oxford English Dictionary definition, it is the capacity to withstand or recover quickly from difficulties or toughness, or the ability of a substance or object to spring back into shape, elasticity. And when I read that, I thought, well, neither of those really apply to human beings. But in humans, we kind of describe it as a skill of being able to go through a difficult situation and to recover quickly from it, to go back to feeling like ourselves. There's a period when you're in a difficult situation where you just don't feel like things are normal, or you don't feel like yourself. You don't feel like you're handling it the way you would normally handle situations. And when you go back to yourself and you get back to your normal productivity, your normal level of effectiveness, your normal way of working, that's when you've recovered yourself. And that's you've kind of gone through the trough and got back. That skill of getting through the trough and getting back to your norm, that's what we would describe as resilience.
Yeah, and that feeling of feeling off, no one likes it.
No.
So getting away from that quicker is going to be a skill that you'll use constantly through your life, for sure. And in her 2016 book, Angela Duckworth used the word grit. That's an interesting word when talking about resilience, is grit. And I've heard that a lot playing sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you out, dig down that grit. Yeah. And she used to describe what sets cadets at West Point apart. Those with it get through the first 6 weeks, known as the beast barracks. Those who don't, they leave. Brains and brawn don't help. They need grit. which she describes as passion and perseverance for long-term goals of personal significance.
If you break down that description, there's a pretty straightforward path to developing grit. Cultivate passion, persist in adversity, and concentrate on long-term objectives that hold personal significance. Which makes sense. And the books are, the research and the book are interesting and useful in a broader sense, but they're not actionable in the way that we would use them normally here at Manager Tools. So we need to go further than that.
Yeah. In fact, if you read anything about resilience, you'll find lots of references to non-actionable things like nurturing a positive view of yourself. Oh, that's nice. Or accepting that change is a part of life. Oh, I think we've all heard that one. Just accept that change is, oh, yeah. And having an attitude of faith that all things will work out in your favor. You know, that's an interesting one. Just everything will work out just because it's supposed to. I don't find that to be very true, right? Mm-hmm. So those are all like well and good. And there's no description of to actually how to do any of those things that I just talked about, especially on a daily basis. So what we at Manager Tools want to do is give you the small daily actions that you can undertake to help build resilience and grit for those tough times ahead. So we're not going to help you with the mindset or things that can be, because we don't teach mindsets. We're going to teach you things that you can do.
And the first thing you can do is, I don't think anybody who's listened to more than one Career Tools cast is going to be surprised by this, invest in relationships. Because,
what?
Yeah, I know, right? Duh. But creating and maintaining and investing relationships is a huge payment into the account that you're going to draw on during tough times. You know, one of the ways you get through tough times is that other people help you.
Yeah.
I was having a bad morning this morning and I texted one of my colleagues and said, do you have time to listen to me whine? And literally all I wanted to do was complain. And
yeah.
All I did was complain. And the other person just listened. There was no solution. I didn't want a solution. I just wanted to someone to listen to me whine. And fortunately, I had listened to her whine often enough that she was willing to listen to me whine. And that is one, I wasn't in a what we would call a tough situation. I was just having a bad morning and I wanted to whine. But if you extrapolate from that, you know, if you think of, you know, losing your job or, you know, having a death in your family and not being able to concentrate at work, it's that kind of relationship that getting the grace or having someone to help you with your work or someone volunteering to go to a meeting for you, that's all based on relationships and people helping you out. And every time that you have given assistance or listened to a colleague or shared a resource or bought a coffee or fixed the printer or introduced someone or given someone a ride or supported someone's argument or clapped them on the back and commiserated after a rough meeting or celebrated a promotion even when you wanted it or pointed out a mistake before the boss saw it in a nice way or sent an article you knew they'd been interested in or asked after their kids' Christmas play or said good morning with a smile even when it was far from a good morning or told them for the 35th time how to find that document, looked at a picture of their cat, even though you're a dog person, talked football or reviewed an agenda for them. Every time you have done anything that paid into your relationship bank, you will be thankful for those things when the tough times come.
Yeah.
All of those things, that some of which are really annoying, they pay you back. Like, you will be so thankful that you did all those things.
Yeah, and I would say that when you have a good relationship with someone, even those annoying things aren't very annoying to help out with.
No.
Right? You're more than willing to help someone because they're your people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those people that you have relationships with, all those things that you might find annoying to do for someone that you don't have a relationship with, it's nothing when it's someone that you do.
That's true.
It's our privilege and mission to make all managers and professionals effective and productive. And to do that, we'd like to let you know we'll be in the European Theater during the week of February 19th and in Australia during the week of April 22nd. So what that means is if you've got more than 15 managers or professionals in your organization who'd like to be trained, contact Maggie for more details on how we can come directly to you. Send her an email. Her email address is customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more.
This is a short list off the top of our heads of the things that can go into building a relationship. Almost every Career Tools podcast has something about starting, maintaining, and investing in relationships, because that's the integral, the most entwined with the very fabric of our professional lives. Again, we can't emphasize having relationships is the basis, the foundation of everything. It's really the cornerstone upon which successful careers are built. Now, that said, there are a number of casts that we recommend you start with because they're about daily actions. Wendy, do you have that list?
Yes. They are Building a Network for Those Who Hate Networking, The Morning Greeting, Assume Positive Intent, How to Be Encouraging, How to Be a Team Player, and Peer O3s. And you'll notice that two of them have B in them, because a lot of people get the advice or the guidance in their reviews, be a team player, or you're not enough of a team player, and you need to be more encouraging. That's why we titled the casts with those titles, and then we break down how to do that in the cast.
Yeah.
But they are about daily relationship actions.
Yeah, and even the smallest positive action from someone else can lift our spirits on a tough day. So if you're laid off, you probably will be surprised how far people with whom you've had cultivated a relationship are willing to go for you. So even if you're no longer working with them, you still have people in your corner.
And every piece of data we have says that humans do better in groups. And whether your problem is small or big enough to drown you, you will get through it more easily and recover more quickly when you're connected with more people who are willing to help and support you.
Yeah. The bigger your network, the more likely it is that you have the right person to turn to for advice or encouragement and comfort you when times are tough. Having someone who has known you for years and can remind you that you are competent and can get through this difficult time contributes significantly to your success in getting through it. And kind of back to Wendy's story, like we have different people for different needs in our lives, right? Depending on the relationship, the individual, some people are good for just listening to us without giving us solutions. We need that. And some people are more logical and like, hey, these are the steps that you need to take. Like, let's actually solve this problem. And it's not always going to be the same person. So you have to diversify your relationships.
Yeah. The bigger your network, the more likely it is that you have a connection to someone who has the answer to your question, right?
Yeah.
And the more likely you have someone who will help you find a solution and help you implement it, right? There's a different, like, the bigger your network, the more likely you have one of each of these people. If you only have three friends, the likelihood of you having the range of people who will help you is low. The bigger your network, the more likely it is that you have this range. Who else is there?
You want someone with an unbiased perspective. Sometimes that's hard to come by.
Right.
But it's much needed.
Yeah, especially work things. Sometimes if you get into some, you know, a situation where HR is involved, you know, those kind of situations, being able to talk it through and have someone uninvolved to listen to you and say, mate, I know what you're saying, but I think you're in the wrong here.
Yeah. And sometimes that's going to be outside your work circle.
Yeah, it has to be someone who's uninvolved and didn't hear all of the stuff and doesn't know the people and, you know, has no opinion on all of that, who can give you that view.
Yeah. Then you also need someone that can find humor in the bleakest times, someone to provide that light when you are in the dark. And that's a special person that can help you laugh and see the positive when you're feeling off, you're not in a good place. That's an important one. Yeah.
The bigger your network, the more likely it is that you'll have someone who will tell you that you're only seeing the negative and will tell you what the positives are, you know? And yeah. We've talked before about how, on manager tools, about how managers are trained to see the negatives. They're trained to see the problems because manager's job is to get things done. And that means finding the problems and solving them. And so you look for the problems. That's your job. And you get into that mindset, and sometimes that means in a tough time, all you can see is problems. And having someone tell you 99% of the things that you have are fine. You know, you've got a yeah. house, you have a family, you have food in the pantry, your wife hasn't left you, the kids are yeah. still coming home, you know.
Right. It's a small piece of okay. a very large puzzle. Yeah.
Right.
And having spent all this time and energy building and maintaining a network, don't ignore it, right? You've spent all this time cultivating these relationships, building it, putting your energy into it, helping them when they've needed it. So when it comes time, when you need it, use it. So ask for help when you need it. And I say this as a person that definitely has a hard time asking for help,
mm-hmm.
but it pays off. The dividends are endless if you have those relationships where you know you can trust the person and ask them for help when you need it. So use it.
So now we'll try and convince you about asking for help.
Yes.
So firstly, the more you've invested in relationships, the easier it is to ask for help. It's really difficult to ask for help from someone you barely know. Like think mm-hmm. about how awkward it is to ask for help from a stranger in a grocery store or in an airport. If you're short like me and you can't reach the top shelf, it's always awkward to ask. Like literally for some of us, if we're struggling and a stranger offers to help, we won't accept because it's that yeah. awkward. So, you know, if it's our friends, it's easier to ask, ask yeah. and accept for help. But my very favorite story of politeness is from years and years ago. I was flying on an airplane and we were flying because my dad worked for the airline, but we've been split up as a family because we couldn't sit together. And I was sitting next to a man who only had one hand. And he was given a packet of peanuts. I must have been 8, 9. And I could not fathom how he was going to open this packet of peanuts because, to my mind, you had to have two hands to do it. And of course, this man, I'm sure, had been managing very well for his entire however long he had been disabled on his own for very long. But what he said, so I offered to help him because I just couldn't work out how he was going to do it. And what he said has been stuck in my mind ever since. He said, "I don't need help, but as you asked so politely, yes, please, I'd love your help." And he knew it would hurt my feelings if he didn't accept my help. But yeah. he wanted to tell me, "I don't need your help. Like, you don't need to offer to help me for the rest of this 8-hour flight because I know how to do these things myself."
Yeah.
You know, he didn't want to make me feel bad, and he wanted to compliment me for asking and to offer yeah. for offering help. It was just such a nice way of doing it. And so often when there's been a bad situation, people say, "I wish I had known because I would have helped." People want to help. I wanted to help this man.
Yeah.
Even though there was no necessity for me to do it, people want to help you. And they feel upset when they find there was a situation where you needed help and they could have helped and you didn't yeah. ask. So think about it that way. You are hurting people's feelings when you don't ask for help and they could help you.
Yeah. And think of it from your own perspective. How many times have you found out that someone needed or could have used your help that was your wheelhouse, right? And then they didn't. It absolutely hurts mm-hmm. a little bit. You're like, "Oh, do you not trust me? Like, why was I not your first person to call?" Like, and this just recently happened. We're trying to build a loft in our garage and we always help our friends with whatever we can. And every day, my friend will message, "Okay, are we working on it today? It's no longer, can I help you?" And then he just showed up, perfectly timed. He just showed up and he was like, "Nope, I'm going to help." And we needed the help. We used the help. And he's like, just make it easier on me. Like, just ask.
Mm-hmm.
But now he shows up and I was so grateful for it. And now in my mind, I was like, okay, I need to be better about mm-hmm. asking for help, because he planned it. He went out of his way. He showed up right when we needed it. So there's that story too.
And part of resilience is knowing that you're competent. You know, if you've been laid off, for example, part of the reason that you feel so bad about the situation and yourself potentially is you feel like it's a vote on you that you're not competent. And so when somebody else asks you for help and you show competence in helping them, that builds your resilience for the next time something happens to you. So if you ask someone for help and they show competence in helping you, then you are helping build their resilience for the next time they need it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
We'll continue this discussion next week. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.